Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A swing and a high pop-up, short left center field. Out goes Elvis, waving his arms. He's got it. It's a complete game shutout for Mike Minor. The first of his career, the Rangers have blanked the Angels 5-0 for their third straight win.
That was the call last night. The Rangers behind Mike Minor and Joey Gallo, as long with Asdrubal Cabrera, get it done over the Angels on DFW Sports Station. That's us. If the weather holds off, they will do it again tonight as the Stars are getting ready to take on the Predators. Game 4, both games at 7 at home, one at the AAC, one in Arlington. But yesterday, Roy went out to Arlington in the Rangers clubhouse for Bat Appreciation Day. And I think we have some confusion. Roy may have misunderstood what bat they were actually referring to.
No. Roy misunderstanding?
No.
No.
But is it the wood? Or is it the... What is a bat? Is it a...
I don't even want to call it a bird.
It's a mammal.
I think birds have feathers. It's the bat. The bat bat. Like the flying bat. The rabies bat.
Oh, it is?
The sleep upside down bat. The don't let it fly in your head bat. The poop is really sticky bat. That kind of bat. The cave bat.
Okay.
The Batman.
Memorial Stadium bat in Austin.
Yeah, the bat that Manu Ginobili knocks down all the time.
Okay, so not the Louisville Slugger.
No, not the Louisville Slugger.
Well, I think Roy went in with that idea, starting off with Hunter Pence to celebrate a national day today.
All right, I'm here with hometown grown Hunter Pence, Rangers outfielder, 105.3 The Fan, and we're talking bats on National Bat Appreciation Day. How many bats would you say you go through in a season?
Well, I think National Bat Appreciation Day is it's the bird, right? Or what?
No, it's not. But we can get into bat quizzes.
So it's the baseball bat appreciation.
We're talking baseball bat appreciation day. And I want to know how you appreciate yours.
I really appreciate my bats.
So does that mean you've gotten to give them last names as well? You've gotten to know their families and something about their children?
I haven't gotten to give them last names. It's usually just one name.
What are some of the names?
I've had anything from Flash to Bolt to Bomber.
Any superheroes?
No, I haven't really had any superheroes.
On National Bat Appreciation Day, would you be willing to look me in the eye, pretend I am your bat, and tell me everything you would like to say in appreciation today?
Absolutely not.
Would you
especially
be,
with the way you just looked at me? It got way too awkward.
It was because I didn't blink, right?
I don't know. You got too excited.
Okay. Well, would you be willing to, if I turned around and don't look at you and make no eye contact?
No. That's too much. I've already gotten weird enough for you, man.
Okay.
Come on.
Jeez,
so much pressure.
A lot of pressure.
So Roy actually went on to have like a lot of discussions in the clubhouse that would give you your wood off this conversation. Just about bats. And I think we're going to turn it into an article on the website, just breaking down the weights and the sizes and the something that you would just be salivating over.
Yeah, I'm a giant bat freak. Not the bat, flying bat, the baseball
bat.
Did
you name any of yours?
Yeah, Clubber Lang, after the Rocky character, after the Mr. T character.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a big giant Mizuno. It was a 3330, had it in high school.
Did you always have like the most expensive bat?
No. I wanted the one that looked the most menacing. I would lick it though. My son Luca.
Like Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, he licks his bat. He kisses it and licks it. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And he does that because you told him to do it?
No, I just told him, take care of your bat, love it. I said, kiss it if you want to. So he kisses it, he starts licking it now, and I'm like, oh man, that's my boy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Bonds will do the same thing.
And that's why your other son's mad at you, because he can't lick his bat.
Luca, gonna be named a baseball player.
I love that. One day, I hope we get the restrictions off playing that entire audio. That's one of my favorites
that's
ever.
That's amazing.
All right, and then Roy decided to move along in the clubhouse to Ronald Guzman.
Okay.
Let's see if Ronald had as much fun with Roy messing up National Bat Appreciation Day.
Here with Rangers first baseman Ronald Guzman on 105.3 The Fan celebrating National Bat Appreciation Day. How many bats do you need to take on the road with you for, say, a 9-game road trip to feel safe?
Six. Yeah, six bats. I break a lot of bats, man. I mean, I'll have probably a week or two not breaking any bats, and then one game I break three bats and stuff like that. So
when you break them with the frequency that you do, do you at least, you know, give them a goodbye ceremony, some kind of?
If he breaks with a base hit, then yeah, I say thank you. I give him a couple of kisses and then goodbye. But if I break it like with a pop or something, then it's like, okay, thank you for coming, bye bye.
Okay, well, you have a chance now to say thank you to all the bats that have helped you throughout the years. What would you like to say to them on National Bat Appreciation Day? Rangers first baseman Ronald Guzman.
Yeah, I would say I'm very thankful. I wouldn't be here without them. You know, I'm very grateful for them to be with me and give me a couple of knocks too on the breaking ones.
Oh my God, Ronald! Don't fall into the trap of talking to your bat just because Roy wanted you to.
There you go. National Bat Appreciation Day with Roy in the Rangers clubhouse. All right, we have a Mudbug ticket giveaway at 8:40 this morning to come party with us in Arlington on Saturday. Bill Barnwell, he is an ESPN insider. He kind of breaks down NFL stuff. He's really, really good. He nailed the terms of the Russell Wilson extension. So people were giving him credit yesterday on social media, and I decided to go back and look at an article that I don't remember us talking about, and he predicted the next contracts for all the guys that are on deck. All right. So Carson Wentz, the contract that he is predicting. Well, here's what he has remaining. 2 years, about $27 million in cash, $8.5 million cap hit, $23 million in 2020. The next Carson Wentz contract, and this is the one that we're kind of fearing. Yesterday, Roy brought up Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I'm not worried about that yet because I don't think their franchises would be dumb enough to give them big-time money. Titans more likely than Tampa, no doubt about it. And we'll get to their contracts in a sec. But when Carson gets paid and the Eagles are apparently talking about it, that could screw things up. Because I don't think Dak has an argument against Russell or Aaron Rodgers, but he would against Carson Wentz. The predicted contract for Carson, 5 years, 146, 50 guaranteed at signing.
Okay, 5 for 146, 50 at signing.
Yep. 5 for 146, 50 at signing.
Okay.
All right. Next one.
So it's just under 30 a year.
Yes. Basically 29, I think.
Yeah.
Jared Goff. He has 2 years, about $28 million in cash left. The new deal, 5 for 155, 54 guaranteed at signing.
Okay, so I don't want to say considerably more than Wentz, but a little bit more.
About $2 million per year more. Yeah. That feels considerable.
So Jared Goff, Dak Prescott can have that argument easily, that I'm better or on the same level as Jared Goff. Here's what he had to say about Dak. 1 year, $2 million in cash on the remaining contract, $2.1 million cap hit. For 3 years, Dak Prescott has been the NFL's most underpaid player. That's about to change. Dak made just under $40,000 per game last season.
Good gosh.
$40,000 per game. He may take home $40,000 per snap starting this year. It seemed like Dak was on the downside after taking a step backwards in 2018, struggling early in 2019. Amari Cooper transformed everything. Dak's passer rating jumped from 87 before week 8 to 103 afterwards. All right? Skin keeps referencing that. It's a good stat. From 87 to 103. His career rate stats are better than Carson Wentz's, and that's before factoring in Dak's health and his considerable impact as a runner.
And rate stats.
Yeah, what's that mean, counting numbers?
That's the opposite of counting numbers. So counting numbers is as you add up the totals, which doesn't take into account for, like, if this guy attempts 50 more passes, you know, it doesn't account for that because it's just the totals. The rate stat accounts for the more passes. So it becomes per play, per possession, per drive, per game.
Dak is not a top five passer, writes Bill Barnwell, but given that, and this is KT's point, given that the Cowboys wanted the draft Paxton Lynch and Connor Cook before settling on Prescott, Jerry Jones and company shouldn't be confident they can find a better quarterback than Prescott if they go back into the draft. This is another point. People keep saying, well, just keep Dak and draft great around him. Well, the odds of keep nailing, you know, that you keep nailing draft picks, how are they that much different from finding your quarterback? If the number of guys you have to draft correctly to surround your quarterback versus the one hit of finding the quarterback, I mean, isn't it a little bit foolish to just assume this continued success for drafting supporting cast?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't I don't think you could sustain 10 years of really solid drafting. Now, they haven't necessarily hit on all their picks. They've hit especially on their early. I mean, like, they have dominated the first round, Taco. and for the most part, they've done very, very well in the second, assuming those guys have ACLs and
drug
weed-free lungs.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they've nailed their draft picks. Now, that's not really something that you could sustain all the time. But this team also, you know, some teams have a track record for being able to draft positions too. But this team seems to be able to draft offensive linemen really well.
Well, they take them on the first round.
But they take them on the first round. Like, they don't really have a track record of drafting a lot of quarterbacks. Then again, quarterbacks at a position you draft all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they took Aikman. That's pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Then they didn't take another quarterback in the first round since.
Yep.
Okay, is that 30 years?
But you also...
But they undrafted, you know, Sean Payton found Romo only because they went to the same college.
They got lucky with Romo.
Yeah, right. In the 30 years since, they've fallen into an undrafted quarterback, and they happened to find Dak Prescott.
Would you guys factor that into your thinking?
Yeah,
on this?
Like, they don't know how to draft quarterback. Like, they don't. It's not that they don't know how to draft quarterbacks, yeah, it's just they haven't even tried.
But I would like to find a study that shows that they miss way more than others. I would like to see that.
They don't miss more than others. Yeah. They don't even attempt.
Oh, well, then how do we know that they can't evaluate them?
But the other problem.
You don't draft guys. Only the Packers kept drafting guys while the studs were there. They had Romo. So why were they investing higher picks in that position?
I don't disagree. They took several guys, though, hoping that, like, this guy could be groomed into a long-term backup option, and none of them really became that. None of them went on to anything after their time with the Dallas Cowboys. And you're right that they didn't invest a ton, and maybe it's not that much different than the rest of the league, but that's the fear, is because once you take a new one and you don't have another option available, you then have to invest 2 to 3 years to figure out if that guy's the guy. And so then you have 2 years of waiting again, and then you got to start the process all over. And all the while, you have all these other positions and position groups you've set up. Your offensive line, your stout running back, your defensive line, your linebackers, and they're all aging. They're all going by. It's just a lot to risk when you don't have that sure thing waiting for you on the other side.
I mean, even the Patriots, who have had Brady,
they
routinely select quarterbacks.
Right.
Castle.
Mallett.
Jimmy Garoppolo. They routinely are taking Jacoby Brissett.
Boy, and they've benefited from that in a huge way because they, I mean, grand scheme of things.
Paddle them off after two starts.
You should take a quarterback with a third or fourth round pick every couple years.
Here's the projected deal from Barnwell on Dak. 6 years, $168 million, 60 guaranteed. That's 28 a season. That's 28 per with $60 million guaranteed. The Cowboys build their team around a stars and scrubs approach and construct their cap around paying those guys on long, often restructured deals. It's a great approach when those players stay healthy and productive. But if something goes wrong, the Cowboys are left to pick up the pieces with lots of dead cap.
This is the 10% theory. I'm sorry, 60% theory.
Your top 10 players.
If your top 10 players account for 60% of your cap or more, you historically, on average, are a 5-win team. Because you cannot sustain your top 10 guys being healthy and productive. Like, those are the two big things in a cap. You've got to have production from your high-paid guys and health. And then you've got to have overproduction by guys who are on rookie deals.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.